And as I said earlier, we're following it on and we're looking at experience as the next part of the Shaped series. So Acts chapter 26, reading from verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And no, it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." Thanks, Dave.
Good morning. Isn't it funny, church is the only place in the world you say good morning about 10 times? Well, it's good that we started this morning with that video about the majesty of God and how almighty God is and how big the stars are and so forth, because in a way it kind of ties in nicely with what I'm going to talk about, because what I'm talking about really is how that almighty and great God actually interacts with us. And that's part of the big mystery of God and why he interacts with us. And his word is all about how this God who can create such great stars and planets and massive things bothers to spend time with and get to know us. And we are talking, as Ian has said, on this next part of our sermon series, Shaped to Serve, on experience. and experience is something that shapes all of us, and Beth is going to be shaped by her experiences in Rwanda, and all of us have got life stories in which we've had various different experiences. I don't know if you'd be very happy if you sat down on a plane just off on holiday. You sat on an aeroplane, you're feeling nice and comfortable, and you're waiting for that familiar announcement from the pilot just talking about how high you're going to be flying. I don't know why they tell you that. But then like a young-sounding voice comes over the speaker and he says, "Hello, everyone. I'm Barry. I'm 17. This is my first flight. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm a bit nervous. So if you could, any Christians on the plane, just pray for me and pray for us. I'm sure we'll be fine. Okay, everyone, have a good flight. We're going to be flying quite high." And you wouldn't be very happy, would you, if you heard something like that? Because what we want to hear is the experienced posh man who's probably in his 40s, who's a millionaire, who's been flying for 20 years, because we feel safe. And we feel safer with Roy Hodgson than we did with Steve McLaren, because he's had experience. And we know that experience shapes lives. And we feel a lot more happier when people have got experience. We want our doctors to have lots of experience, don't we? And how many times have young doctors had somebody say, "How old are you? Do I want you treating me?" You get my point. And there are loads of professors of history, I'm sure, that could quote almost verbatim the textbooks about World War II. But if they weren't there, they didn't experience it. And my granddad, before he died, used to tell me, "You might have a great education and whatnot." He didn't have very much education, but he said, "You can't tell me anything about war because you weren't there." He had the experience of war. I might have known a few facts about war from GCSEs and through things I might have seen, but he knew war. And so experience shapes our lives. And today we're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul and his experiences. He had loads and loads of experiences, but it seems to me that he chose one main experience to pretty much justify the rest of his life and to make that experience, his experience of meeting Jesus, to justify and encapsulate his whole of life experience. So what's going on in this reading? Because it was quite a long reading, and I'm sure that you weren't able to follow it all and completely understand what was going on, because we kind of come into the middle of a story about Paul being on trial before this king. So let me just fill you in for about 30 seconds on what's going on. Before I do that, let's just look at what Albert Einstein says about experience. Albert Einstein said, I just thought I might as well quote him because he's quite clever. He knows what he's talking about. He says, "Learning is experience. Everything else is just information." So let's learn about Paul's experiences. Basically, Paul was, at this time of the story, an apostle, a follower of Jesus Christ. He'd been told by Jesus to spread the gospel, basically. And he found himself in Jerusalem. And what had happened was he'd been arrested for saying the things that he was saying because the religious leaders in the area thought that what he was saying was outrageous. And so he was arrested and he ended up going to prison for 2 years. And he was brought before a council of people, a council of religious leaders who were supposed to decide whether what he was saying was terrible and was he deserving of death. And then he was sort of brought before them, and then he was brought before one of the governors, a guy called Felix. And then at that point, he was put in prison for 2 years, and then he says, "Right, well, I'm going to appeal to Caesar," and it was like somebody like you appealing to talk to Barack Obama, to have Barack Obama hear your case, or somebody very important, possibly the most important person in the world. And Paul said, "I want to go to Caesar so that he can hear my case." And then for some reason, one of the local kings, this king called Agrippa, said, "Oh, well, I've heard about the stir that this guy Paul's made. I'd like to hear what he's got to say. So I'd like to have him come and hear. I'd like to hear what he's got to say." And so Paul finds himself before King Agrippa. And that's where we get to at the start of chapter 26. So if you've got it, you might want to just follow through, because we're going to follow through a little bit now. And we find ourselves at verse 1 of chapter 26. "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense." So Paul, the context is Paul's defending himself against a king who's accusing him. And so we can learn from Paul. We can watch Paul's life changing through the story of his conversion, because it's the story of his conversion and how he met God and had an experience of Jesus that he used as his defense against his king. It wasn't his great life experiences, although they're good and they do shape us. It was his experience of Jesus. And I wonder about what your experience of Jesus has been to date. You might want to just mull that one over as you listen. First of all, we can learn from Paul the Pharisee. Read verse 5 and 6 with me. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. So Paul is a Pharisee. And what you have to understand is that Paul wasn't just a bloke that was perceived to be a religious nutter before this king. Paul was a very respected religious leader in and of his own right. And so it ties back in with how experience is everything. Learning is experience, sorry. Everything else is just information. Because Paul knew an awful lot of information about God and about Jesus. We're going to find out that he actually opposed Jesus quite vehemently. And yet, he comes here as a Pharisee before the king, learned and respected. He knew an awful lot about God, but now he was saying, I have now met God. He considered Christ to be his greatest experience. What defines your experience? I know that there's a lot of very qualified professional people, very clever students, people that have done all sorts of things. But what defines your experience? What defines my experience? Is it Jesus Christ? Are we coming to church knowing an awful lot, being well respected, but with due respect, excuse me, not knowing God, not following Christ? Can we be like Paul, the Pharisee, well-respected and learned, but not knowing? Paul says, for a long time, I was a Pharisee, and I opposed Christ. Maybe I can be more like a Pharisee than a Christian. And we can secondly learn from Paul the persecutor. It goes on in verse 9. Having said that he was a Pharisee, he knew an awful lot and he opposed Jesus. He said, I too was convinced in verse 9 that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem, verse 10. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. So Paul was once again... Paul was once against Christ. And yet now Christ was his Lord. And I wonder, as well as the people that might be more like the Pharisees here, I wonder if there are more people here that are more like the persecutors. There might be some. Some people that might be here thinking, I have opposed Jesus, or I do oppose Jesus. But Paul uses his experience of meeting Jesus to say, that's not me anymore. Maybe you oppose Christ. Maybe we all oppose Christ at times in the way that we act. So Paul says, I was a Pharisee, I knew an awful lot about God, but I didn't know God, and in fact, I even opposed him. I was a persecutor. Thirdly, we can learn from Paul the Apostle. Read verse 13 to 14. About noon, O king, remember he's defending himself against his king. About noon, O king, I was on the road, and I saw a light from heaven. Brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, that used to be his name, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, this phrase, kicking against the goads, I don't know if you understand it. I think I sniggered the first time I read it. But it actually means Jesus is saying to Paul here, it's useless for you to oppose God. That's what he's saying. It's useless for you to oppose God. Because that's what Paul was doing. Paul was opposing God. And Jesus said, kicking against is useless. It's like a completely useless thing to oppose God. Because even if you think that people think they're getting away with it without honouring God and without having Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, it's useless eventually, because we know that that is what's required of people. And so what we can understand is that Paul is a Pharisee. He knows an awful lot about God. He was also a persecutor. He opposed God. But at some point in history, he realized that it was worth following Jesus. You couldn't have asked for a cleverer guy. You couldn't have asked for a more powerful guy. You couldn't have asked for a guy who knew more. And yet, he didn't want anything to do with it. Until he met Jesus. And we can learn that Paul became an apostle through his experience of meeting Jesus. Now, what about you? I just want you to think, have you met Jesus? Are you still living as if you know about God but you don't know God? Are you possibly opposing him? Or are you following him? Are you uselessly trying to resist God this morning? What has your experience of Jesus been? Is he a religious leader? Is he someone that you sing about but don't know? Or is he your Lord and your Saviour? Do you know him? And are you willing to take that step of faith to say, actually, you are worth following? Because I believe that he is. He was worth following for Paul, who was able to throw away everything that he had and go through lots of suffering for the sake of it, to have Jesus. And so how will we respond? Will we respond like Paul? His experience of Jesus led him to prison, to suffering, because God had told him to spread the gospel. That won't necessarily be what will happen to you. But are you willing to put Jesus as your number one priority, even when people are laughing at you? Because they will. Are you willing to put Jesus as your number one priority when you're tempted to do the wrong thing? You don't have to be very old to have an experience of Jesus. It's not like the pilot thing. You don't have to be a Christian for 30 years before anyone will take you seriously and feel safe around you. You can just do it. That's one of the great things. It's for everybody. Jesus said, let the children come to me. He thought that the children were worthy of having the kingdom of God, let alone the religious leaders. In fact, that was a thing that they hated about him. And so you can have an experience today of Jesus if you want. The point is, we don't just have an experience of Jesus for the sake of having an experience. We have an experience of Jesus to shape us. To shape us, not just to serve in the church so that we can serve coffee and do things, as great as that is and as worshipful as that is. But he can shape our entire lives as well. He can sort out the hurts and the failures and be with us through the good times too. So how does Paul finish off? Verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, that was where Paul was going. Then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. That was the reason why he was on trial. But I have had God's help to this very day, And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. And so how will we respond? Paul said, I was not disobedient to the call from heaven. Will you be disobedient to his call? It's not me telling you to do something. I'm just standing here because I'm somebody that works here and God's using me to just talk to his church. This is not me making it up. This is God maybe talking to you. Will you be disobedient to the call? Are you too scared to take a step for Jesus because someone might laugh at you? I know what I was, so don't feel bad if you are. But let me tell you, it's worth it. Paul was not disobedient because what he saw was unmistakable and overwhelming. He announced the good news and preached. He was obedient. What three things did Moses and the prophets say? Do you remember what he said that in verse 22 and 23? That Christ would suffer, that Christ would be the first to rise from the dead, and that Christ would proclaim light to all people. So what he was saying at the time was outrageous to their ears, because it sounds right to us to say that Jesus is the Saviour, Jesus is Lord, Jesus rose from the dead. But the very notion of Jesus rising from the dead and resurrecting to life was the very thing that caused Paul's trouble. It was the thing that got him in trouble. Paul was suggesting outrageously that Jesus Christ was Isaiah's suffering servant. And most outrageously, that Jesus was resurrected. Paul kept referring to the resurrection because the resurrection of Jesus was the beginning and the pledge of the new creation. We're talking about the future now. Why it's worth it. The payoff. The promise. And so at the very heart of the gospel. So your experience this morning has been that you've heard about somebody who was against Jesus but who turned to him because it was worth it. You heard about somebody that knew about Jesus but came to know Jesus. What are we basing our lives upon? What are our life experiences shaping us to look like? What kind of places are we putting ourselves in? What are we being shaped by? And how can we use our experience as Christians to shape ourselves and to bless others? So maybe God's calling you this morning like he called Paul. Will you be obedient to him? If you've never experienced Jesus, why don't you ask him to come into your life and experience him? You might not have a flashing light from heaven like Paul did. But I can tell you that if you do, it will be worth it. And that experience won't just shape this moment, but will shape the rest of your lives. At the end of the day, we're a church, aren't we, that has to preach the gospel to the nations. So let's be filled with God, the very same God who made those stars. Let's be filled with him and actually make an impact rather than just knowing about him. Amen.